English Listening Comprehension Test, Spring 2015, Advanced Level. This test is in six parts. Part 6 has separate directions. In parts 1 through 5, you will answer the questions asked in the booklet by choosing the best alternative answer, according to what you have heard. Mark each answer on the optical answer sheet. The test is about to begin. Now you will hear part 1 twice. In this part, you will hear a radio presentation. First, listen to it straight through.
This morning, Sam Webb is going to tell us about the exciting plans for a network of cycle pathways high above London.
Thank you, Anne. The concept is known as SkyCycle. It's a 135-mile network of cycle routes that will be constructed above existing suburban rail lines in London. These rail lines have been in place well over a century, actually since the day of the steam engine. These cycle routes have been developed by Sir Norman Foster, who said that cycling is one of his lifelong passions. He believes that cities where you can walk or cycle rather than drive are more congenial and appealing places in which to live. He especially likes to cycle with a group of friends. The first phase of the SkyCycle building process is a 4-mile stretch from East London to Liverpool Street Station and will cost an estimated £200 million. The developers consistently point out that almost 6 million people live within close proximity of the proposed network. Furthermore, half of these live and work within a few minutes of an entrance. The 3-storey high routes would be accessed via ramps at many locations. Each of the routes can accommodate large numbers of cyclists per hour and will improve journey times by up to 30 minutes. The scheme would provide capacity at a much lower cost than building new roads and tunnels. After all, SkyCycle is a lateral approach to finding space in a congested city. Using the corridors above the suburban railways would create a world-class network of car-free cycle routes that are safe for commuters. You see, the greatest barrier to segregating cars and cyclists is the physical constraint of London's roads, where space is already at a premium. And now, the latest development is where a cycling charity, the London Cycling Campaign, has raised concerns over the wind exposure cyclists would face at such a height. Gusts at that level could well blow cyclists down. In another note, property owners have stated that the SkyCycle routes may act as sound amplifiers. Nonetheless, these plans reflect the fact that over the last decade, cycling in London has grown by 70%.
Now listen to the same radio presentation in three sections. Look at questions 1 and 2.
This morning, Sam Webb is going to tell us about the exciting plans for a network of cycle pathways high above London.
Thank you, Anne. The concept is known as SkyCycle. It's a 135-mile network of cycle routes that will be constructed above existing suburban rail lines in London. These rail lines have been in place well over a century, actually since the day of the steam engine. These cycle routes have been developed by Sir Norman Foster, who said that cycling is one of his lifelong passions. He believes that cities where you can walk or cycle rather than drive are more congenial and appealing places in which to live. He especially likes to cycle with a group of friends.
Answer questions 1 and 2, then look at questions 3 and 4.
The first phase of the Sky Cycle building process is a 4-mile stretch from East London to Liverpool Street Station and will cost an estimated £200 million. The developers consistently point out that almost 6 million people live within close proximity of the proposed network. Furthermore, half of these live and work within a few minutes of an entrance. The 3-storey high routes would be accessed via ramps at many locations. Each of the routes can accommodate large numbers of cyclists per hour and will improve journey times by up to 30 minutes. The scheme would provide capacity at a much lower cost than building new roads and tunnels.
Answer questions 3 and 4. Look at questions 5 and 6.
After all, Sky Cycle is a lateral approach to finding space in a congested city. Using the corridors above the suburban railways would create a world-class network of car-free cycle routes that are safe for commuters. You see, the greatest barrier to segregating cars and cyclists is the physical constraint of London's roads, where space is already at a premium. And now, the latest development is where a cycling charity, the London Cycling Campaign, has raised concerns over the wind exposure cyclists would face at such a height. Gusts at that level could well blow cyclists down. In another note, property owners have stated that the Sky Cycle routes may act as sound amplifiers. Nonetheless, these plans reflect the fact that over the last decade, cycling in London has grown by 70%.
Answer questions 5 and 6. This is the second part of the test. You will hear this radio interview twice. Listen to this part straight through.
Good morning to everyone. This is Jort Sands, and today I'm talking to Emma Barnett, who has had her own radio show for several years. Emma, is it really true what happens on nighttime radio?
Once night falls, radio becomes a whole lot more intimate. I was taken aback by how much people are willing to divulge on air at night. Because radio is a faceless media, callers really feel like they can share. Week in, week out, listeners ring up to tell me about everything. So many of the stories I am privy to will remain etched in my memory, such as the man who went outside his home to call me from a nearby park bench to talk about his wife's depression after their daughter was born. He explained how he just didn't know what to do to repair their marriage. And then he broke down live on air.
We want freedom of speech, but is it too free on radio?
Live radio has still got its danger zones. While each caller speaks to a producer first, to make sure they aren't going to abuse airwaves or turn them blue, guess what? People still lie. Some callers just want to get on air and insult a certain group of people. Then you hit the fader button. It's important that things get cleaned up. Now, I always say that radio stations are social networks. What happens is a presenter poses a question, makes a comment, or imparts some breaking news, and the listener responds and reacts in real time. In fact, the whole experience is improved since it is editorialized. On the web, nothing is moderated or checked in real time.
Now listen to the same radio interview in two sections. Look at questions 7 and 8.
Good morning to everyone. This is Jort Sands, and today I'm talking to Emma Barnett, who has had her own radio show for several years. Emma, is it really true what happens on nighttime radio?
Once night falls, radio becomes a whole lot more intimate. I was taken aback by how much people are willing to divulge on air at night. Because radio is a faceless media, callers really feel like they can share. Week in, week out, listeners ring up to tell me about everything. So many of the stories I am privy to will remain etched in my memory, such as the man who went outside his home to call me from a nearby park bench to talk about his wife's depression after their daughter was born. He explained how he just didn't know what to do to repair their marriage, and then he broke down live on air.
Answer questions 7 and 8, then look at questions 9 and 10.
We want freedom of speech, but is it too free on radio?
Live radio has still got its danger zones. While each caller speaks to a producer first, to make sure they aren't going to abuse airwaves or turn them blue, guess what? People still lie. Some callers just want to get on air and insult a certain group of people. Then you hit the fader button. It's important that things get cleaned up. Now, I always say that radio stations are social networks. What happens is a presenter poses a question, makes a comment, or imparts some breaking news, and the listener responds and reacts in real time. In fact, the whole experience is improved since it is editorialized. On the web, nothing is moderated or checked in real time.
Answer questions 9 and 10. This is the third part of the test. You will hear this podcast presentation twice. First, listen to it straight through.
David Epstein is here to talk about the future of sports. David is a leading sports science journalist with a new book just out, The Sports Gene. Go ahead, David.
I was a national-level middle-distance runner, and I transitioned into sports science writing after one of my training partners dropped dead after a race. I got really curious about how that could happen. From his medical records, I learned that he suffered from this particular gene mutation that's most commonly the cause of sudden death in athletes. And while this was going on, I was living and eating and training with five guys in a training group. And we were becoming more different athletically rather than more the same, even though we were doing the same training. So I started to look into it. I'm going to give two examples of things that will change the landscape of sports in the coming years. One is individualized training. Some people are more trainable to particular training programs than others. We're so biologically unique. There's no one single perfect training plan that works for everybody. Some countries are starting to put this into effect. Denmark and the Netherlands are moving athletes around sports based on that. The other thing, Nike has a new pair of glasses that flash to block incoming light. They essentially blind you every half a second. It's mainly for the football receivers training to focus on the balls coming in and predict where the ball is going to be. When you're running on the field, you're not going to be able to just stare at the ball. You have to predict where it's going to end up. I've seen stuff like that. I think we have to ask, what do you want from your sport? And so when it comes to doping, there's a lot of debate about whether we should look the other way. There are certain things that are on the banned substance list that won't always be. That said, I wouldn't say it's a non-issue if a player decides to take substances anyway, because the rules in sports, they're important. As far as the technology goes, I think we're already to the point beyond the athletes themselves. It's, you know, the athletes plus other things. That's why the support groups and the technology companies are part of the expression of the human creativity that is sports.
Now listen to the same podcast presentation in three sections. Look at questions 11 and 12.
David Epstein is here to talk about the future of sports. David is a leading sports science journalist with a new book just out, The Sports Gene. Go ahead, David.
I was a national-level middle-distance runner, and I transitioned into sports science writing after one of my training partners dropped dead after a race. I got really curious about how that could happen. From his medical records, I learned that he suffered from this particular gene mutation that's most commonly the cause of sudden death in athletes. And while this was going on, I was living and eating and training with five guys in a training group. And we were becoming more different athletically rather than more the same, even though we were doing the same training. So I started to look into it.
Answer questions 11 and 12. Look at questions 13 and 14.
I'm going to give two examples of things that will change the landscape of sports in the coming years. One is individualized training. Some people are more trainable to particular training programs than others. We're so biologically unique. There's no one single perfect training plan that works for everybody. Some countries are starting to put this into effect. Denmark and the Netherlands are moving athletes around sports based on that. The other thing, Nike has a new pair of glasses that flash to block incoming light. They essentially blind you every half a second. It's mainly for the football receivers training to focus on the balls coming in and predict where the ball is going to be. When you're running on the field, you're not going to be able to just stare at the ball. You have to predict where it's going to end up. I've seen stuff like that.
Answer questions 13 and 14, then look at questions 15 and 16.
I think we have to ask, what do you want from your sport? And so when it comes to doping, there's a lot of debate about whether we should look the other way. There are certain things that are on the banned substance list that won't always be. That said, I wouldn't say it's a non-issue if a player decides to take substances anyway, because the rules in sports, they're important. As far as the technology goes, I think we're already to the point beyond the athletes themselves. It's, you know, the athletes plus other things. That's why the support groups and the technology companies are part of the expression of the human creativity that is sports.
Answer questions 15 and 16. This is the fourth part of the test. You will hear some short dialogues. You will hear each of them once only. Look at question 17.
I see you're not drinking your coffee.
Well, you smell it. This coffee stinks.
Have you been under pressure lately?
Well, here at work, but what do you mean?
You see, according to a new study, human sense of smell is affected when we're anxious, with stress rewiring the brain so that scents don't smell right. The scientists say anxiety or stress can rewire the brain. This turns typically agreeable smells into foul stenches.
That would explain why I've gone off the coffee. It really doesn't smell right.
Answer question 17. Look at question 18.
John, I noticed something odd here on TripAdvisor.
Are you still studying up for our trip to Glasgow?
Of course. After all, I don't want to miss any of the great museums. You know I always want to see them. But listen, here on TripAdvisor, there's something weird. It says that Mary Johnson is the 18th most popular out of the 29 museums in the city. And she's a 60-year-old woman.
What did you say?
You heard me. A 60-year-old woman. One of the reviews states, "She is fun for all the family if you're a fan of people called Mary."
I wonder how that got on there.
Answer question 18, then look at question 19.
John, I just read on the net that the Danish ambassador to the UK says the Vikings were the originators of Britain's sarcastic sense of humour.
That's a bit odd. I mean, we're not at all sarcastic.
Well, you just proved his point. The ambassador said that Brits have the same sense of humour as the Danes. You know, sarcasm, irony, and we both like understatement. In contrast, if you use this type of humour in France or Germany, it will often be taken literally, and the humour lost.
Answer question 19, look at question 20.
Do you know that some malls are using music to drive away groups of teens hanging around and getting into trouble?
Yeah, I know. It's like the music is some form of torture. I'd recommend using that old song Imagine to drive them off.
Why Imagine? Why just that song?
Well, Imagine is my choice to frighten teens right out of their minds. It's got a wet, weak lyrics, but above all, you know, a smug, holier-than-thou air of moral superiority. John and Yoko were just so overly pleased with their own little ideas. They seemed to think they'd come up with the ultimate truth.
Okay, I'll go with you. Just a few seconds of Imagine drains me of the very will to live. I can't imagine what it'd do to teens.
Answer question 20. This is the fifth part of the test. In this part, you will hear six short dialogues. You will hear each of them once only. Look at question 21.
I think most people would agree with me that civilization is not reaching its peak in our day.
How's that? We have such a highly advanced technological society. We've brought more people out of hunger and poverty than at any time in history. I would say that your claim is open to doubt.
But if you paid attention to the media, you would know that over 1 billion people are starving to death, and war is everywhere.
And the media think it's their job to make everything sound as alarming as possible.
Answer question 21, then look at question 22.
We're going to perform a play next autumn.
Oh, what have you chosen?
A revival of the classic by Oscar Wilde, The Importance of Being Earnest.
And why have you chosen that play?
You see, we have an active policy of attempting to revive English classics and so keep them in the public forum.
Well, that sounds very commendable.
Answer question 22. Look at question 23.
Have you seen Janet's new store?
New store? No, I didn't know Janet was into marketing. I thought her thing was sewing and fashion for herself.
Well, she's pulled her hobbies together and come up with a profession. She alters clothing for clients, takes them in and out, repairs tears and things. But her big thing is that she gets secondhand clothing and recycles it by remaking it. She has a whole line of recycled women's fashion and mid to upper end clothing, both for the office and for the evening out.
I had no idea. That sounds fantastic. How's she doing?
Answer question 23, then look at question 24.
This old building is in bad shape. It's not going to be easy rebuilding it.
When we rebuild this library, we're going to be forced to reduce the strain on the foundation round the entrance.
Yes, we'll have to alter the structure somewhat in order to bypass that problem. The foundation near the entryway on this 100-year-old library wasn't built to current standards.
And so it sunk into the ground. That footing must have sunk a good half metre lower around the entrance.
Answer question 24. Look at question 25.
Can you see Paul over there standing by McDonald's?
Yeah, what's going on? Keep your head down. I don't want him to see us.
Notice how he's looking around anxiously. He doesn't look like he wants to be seen.
I've heard he's been cheating on his wife. Maybe he's up to something.
You think he is? Well, he's hopelessly incompetent at keeping things hidden.
Yeah, it will all come out in the end.
Answer question 25, then look at question 26.
Of course, every city council has a lot of boring duties to attend to, and our council is no exception.
I know, and one of those duties is taking care of the roads. But I'd have to say that over half of the members of our council are totally oblivious to the current condition of the High Street.
You'd think they'd never been there, never been shopping at all. Our High Street is in dreadful condition. We'll simply have to take it up in the meeting tomorrow night. There are no two ways about it.
It's times like this I wish I'd never stood for council. I suppose you feel the same. We'll be mighty unpopular by this time tomorrow.
Answer question 26. This is the sixth part of the test. There are five sections. Each section is a separate piece of news. You will hear each section twice, and then you will have time to answer that section. Then you will go on to the next section. You will write in Finnish or Swedish. You must write your answers on the special answer sheet. Read question A. Question A, listen to this section.
Have you ever had problems finding a parking space for your car? It happens to all of us. Developers in Singapore have come up with an idea that may help you, but I have to say it's incredibly expensive. It's ensuite sky garages for those who can afford to park right up there beside their living rooms and skyscrapers. You just steer into the car lift, which speeds you right up to your apartment, let's say on the 55th floor. Quite the idea,
Now listen to this again and then answer the question.
Have you ever had problems finding a parking space for your car? It happens to all of us. Developers in Singapore have come up with an idea that may help you, but I have to say it's incredibly expensive. It's ensuite sky garages for those who can afford to park right up there beside their living rooms and skyscrapers. You just steer into the car lift, which speeds you right up to your apartment, let's say on the 55th floor. Quite the idea,
Read question B. Question B. Listen to this section.
Austrian hazardous materials, that is hazmat specialists, were called in after Geiger counters showed alarmingly high readings for a dump truck arriving at a garbage handling site. After unloading the truck, firefighters from the hazardous materials unit found nearly 24 adult diapers that had become contaminated with radioactive iodine at a hospital. This substance is swallowed by patients during some medical procedures. The truck and the diapers will stay in a special metal building at the garbage handling unit for 8 days, the time it takes for the emissions to reach safe levels. Someone might venture to claim that all diapers should be handled by hazmat teams.
Now listen to this again and then answer the question.
Austrian hazardous materials, that is hazmat specialists, were called in after Geiger counters showed alarmingly high readings for a dump truck arriving at a garbage handling site. After unloading the truck, firefighters from the hazardous materials unit found nearly 24 adult diapers that had become contaminated with radioactive iodine at a hospital. This substance is swallowed by patients during some medical procedures. The truck and the diapers will stay in a special metal building at the garbage handling unit for 8 days, the time it takes for the emissions to reach safe levels. Someone might venture to claim that all diapers should be handled by hazmat teams.
Read question C. Question C. Listen to this section.
In Amsterdam, the Rainbow Group runs a program for people with severe drinking problems. They're paying alcoholics in beer and cash to collect litter. For 5 hours of work, those who help clean up the streets get 5 cans of beer and receive 10 euros. The Rainbow Group considers that this way, the alcoholics are given a better quality of life. There's been a noticeable difference in Oosterpark, a large park where many alcoholics have resided, and now there have been fewer reports of violent crimes there. One 52-year-old man says, "They used to treat us like garbage, and now we're picking up their garbage."
Now listen to this again and then answer the question.
In Amsterdam, the Rainbow Group runs a program for people with severe drinking problems. They're paying alcoholics in beer and cash to collect litter. For 5 hours of work, those who help clean up the streets get 5 cans of beer and receive 10 euros. The Rainbow Group considers that this way, the alcoholics are given a better quality of life. There's been a noticeable difference in Oosterpark, a large park where many alcoholics have resided, and now there have been fewer reports of violent crimes there. One 52-year-old man says, "They used to treat us like garbage, and now we're picking up their garbage."
Read question D. Question D. Listen to this section.
Yesterday at 8:15 a.m., there was a controlled explosion by bomb disposal experts on Hemsby Beach. A member of the public found a mortar bomb and reported it to the police. The bomb was thought to be historic, probably from the Second World War. And that's why part of the seafront at the village of Hemsby was closed to the public yesterday. Naturally, of course, the device had to be disposed of. But the decisive operation was afterwards, when the explosive ordnance disposal team made a thorough check that there was no other bomb in the area. And then the beach was reopened.
Now listen to this again and then answer the question.
Yesterday at 8:15 a.m., there was a controlled explosion by bomb disposal experts on Hemsby Beach. A member of the public found a mortar bomb and reported it to the police. The bomb was thought to be historic, probably from the Second World War. And that's why part of the seafront at the village of Hemsby was closed to the public yesterday. Naturally, of course, the device had to be disposed of. But the decisive operation was afterwards, when the explosive ordnance disposal team made a thorough check that there was no other bomb in the area. And then the beach was reopened.
Read question E. Question E, listen to this section.
Although the regional airline Longan Air will continue to operate flights between Westry and Papa Westry Islands, it will have to fight off competition from two rival firms. The distance between the two locations stands at slightly more than a mile, and the trip takes 47 seconds. The eight-seat aircraft also transported pupils from Papa Westry to Westry Island Junior High in 2009, when the ordinary ferry service was stopped for repairs to the boat. The travel writer Bill Bryson cited Papa Westry as one of his favourite places in Britain.
Now listen to this again and then answer the question.
Although the regional airline Longan Air will continue to operate flights between Westry and Papa Westry Islands, it will have to fight off competition from two rival firms. The distance between the two locations stands at slightly more than a mile, and the trip takes 47 seconds. The eight-seat aircraft also transported pupils from Papa Westry to Westry Island Junior High in 2009, when the ordinary ferry service was stopped for repairs to the boat. The travel writer Bill Bryson cited Papa Westry as one of his favourite places in Britain.
This is the end of the test. You will now have 8 minutes in which to blacken with a pencil the ovals indicating your answers and to check the written answers. Remember to make sure you have written the following information on your answer sheet: your name and number, and the name and number of your school. In addition, make sure that the information needed for the exam has been carefully marked in. Thank you.